Good evening and welcome to our final Lenten service. I'm Pastor Larry Oliver. This Lenten season we have been using the metaphor of eyesight to examine how the various people in Mark's Gospel viewed Jesus during his passion. In most cases they misunderstood who he was and what he was doing. Then again, some people recognized who he really was. During these 40 days of Lent, we have also looked within ourselves as people of faith. How are we like or unlike the people who saw Jesus in the flesh? Most important, as we listen to this service, we will see what Jesus has done to save us from our sins by his holy, precious blood and innocent sufferings and death. In this service, we will examine the motives and means of Judas through his betraying eyes. We will also consider how we have done the same. How does our Jesus look upon us? Although we too have betrayed and handed over our Lord, God has caused Holy Scripture to be handed over to us, where we learn that all our sins are forgiven, for Jesus' life was given over to death for us. Therefore, we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with the opening sentences. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Keep me as the apple of your eye.
Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For he will pluck my feet out of the net.
For I know that my Redeemer lives.
And at last he will stand upon the earth.
And after my skin has thus been destroyed.
Yet in my flesh I shall see God.
Whom shall I see for myself?
And my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me.
The first reading comes from Acts chapter 7. Stephen recalls how the people rejected the prophets and have now betrayed and murdered Jesus, whom the prophets announced beforehand.
Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God. The second reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul warns Timothy that in times to come, he should avoid people who will follow their own sinful desires.
But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God. The Passion of our Lord according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them. And when they had heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they were sacrificing the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him,
Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them,
Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, The teacher says, Where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you to a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us.
And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said,
Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.
They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, Is it I?
It is one of the 12, one who is dipping his bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.
And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
Sit here while I pray.
And he came the third time and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came with a crowd carrying swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the one of the 12 scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard.
And when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
Rabbi! And he kissed him, and they laid hands on him and seized him.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Betraying eyes. The name Judas forever will be associated with betrayal, with treachery, with handing over the innocent Jesus to sinful men who would see to his death. In this message, we will begin by looking at and through the betraying eyes of Judas. But what I want is for you to recognize that it's important for us to take a hard look at ourselves as well, and then to fix our eyes on Jesus. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. This betrayal was personal. Judas was chosen out of countless Jewish men to be one of the 12 apostles, a select group who had the privilege of being in Jesus' inner circle for 3 years. Judas knew firsthand the love and mercy of Jesus and had witnessed his powerful miracles. He had heard the Beatitudes again and again. He had heard the parable of the rich fool and warnings about greed being drummed into his ears. He had gone out and preached in Jesus' name. He had heard the warnings about those who preached in the Lord's name but are shocked on Judgment Day to find out that their faithlessness would land them in hell. If you want to see Exhibit 1 of someone who had all the right things taught to him but then rebelled against it, it's Judas. Judas had sought out the chief priests with an offer to hand Jesus over to them, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And Judas would provide them with an ideal opportunity, in the middle of the night in an isolated garden. And as we know from the other Gospels, Judas was a greedy man, even a thief. So he may have looked upon this betrayal as an opportunity to line his own pockets. At dinner that night, Jesus dropped a bomb on the 12 disciples. As they were eating, Jesus said, Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, the one who is eating with me. Try to picture what the 13 pairs of eyes at the table were doing. What were Judas's eyes doing? Did he look down in shame? Did he nervously glance around to see if he was suspected? Did he put on a good show and act like the rest of them? We can't know for sure, but the latter would make for a reasonable guess. What is striking about Mark's account in this scene is that Jesus doesn't name Judas. Perhaps Jesus wanted each of the 12 to examine themselves and see if they had the capability to betray innocent blood, to commit treason against the Lord. In the same way, Jesus wants each of us to examine our own loyalty to the Lord. Each of the disciples asks the same question, Lord, is it I? And we too must ask ourselves, Lord, is it I? And if we are to be honest, we too must answer yes. You see, we are part of the reason that Jesus is betrayed. We too are guilty of putting him on that cross. That's why it's such good news when Jesus says in the upper room, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. And then in the garden he says again, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus came specifically for this purpose, to be betrayed and to pour out his holy, precious blood and suffer an innocent death to atone for Judas' sin, for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the whole world. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There are deep mysteries here. Judas was morally responsible for his betrayal of Jesus, and justly paid the price for his sin and impenitence, even though the scriptures had foretold this would happen. Yet behind the scenes, this is what God wanted to see all along. The Father wanted to punish his Son for our sake. The Father wanted to hand over his Son to his death, and the Son went willingly out of love for you and me and all sinners. The verb we translate as betray in this text can also mean to hand over or to deliver. In Romans 4:24 and 25, it says that faith will be counted as righteousness to us who believe in him raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Who did the handing over? Judas, to be sure. But above all, God the Father loved the world this way. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So fix your eyes on the one who became the curse for you on the cross. Find your salvation in him. The good news is that in our baptism, we traitors have been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, the very one we betrayed. We can't hide our crimes. We can only confess them. God knows that we are sinners. He knew that as he went to the cross to establish his kingdom of grace. And he knows that now, even as he forgives the sins of all who repent. He knows every time that you have betrayed him. He knows every time that you have made promises to him you couldn't keep. He knows of all of the commitments to him you have failed to keep. But remember this. There is forgiveness for you. There is forgiveness for you even as the words of absolution drum into your ears. There is forgiveness as the grace of baptism comes to your remembrance. There is forgiveness every time you receive a life-giving body and blood of Jesus. That same verb we translate as betraying can also mean handing over or delivering is used by St. Paul in an extraordinary place in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He uses the verb twice there, writing, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was delivered, took bread. Yes, we are accustomed to hearing on the night when he was betrayed, and that certainly is correct. But what is most important is that God the Father handed Jesus over to death in our place. The apostles handed down to us the words of institution for the Lord's Supper. And in that meal, Jesus hands his body and blood over to us for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So remember this every time you see or hear those precious words, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread." And then you can sing with joy, "Lord, now let your servant go in peace. My own eyes have seen the salvation." Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the church around the world, ourselves, and all people in their various needs. We pray for all who struggle with unemployment or underemployment, with poor living conditions or displacement from home, with personal demons or ill health. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all people in authority over communities and countries, all whose decisions affect the health of its inhabitants during this pandemic. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who serve the Lord as they care for others during this difficult time, medical personnel and first responders, counselors and advisors, friends and neighbors, professionals and volunteers. Lord, in your mercy. For the church around the world, as clergy and lay leaders seek to proclaim the gospel and faithfully endeavor to share their faith, especially in the face of persecution, Lord, in your mercy. For the church, wherever and however it gathers, relying on God's steadfast love and faithfulness, and looking forward to the fulfillment of all his gracious promises, Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Taught by our Lord in trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Receive the benediction. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father who saw mankind's hopeless condition, the Son who showed the depth of God's love, and the Holy Spirit who has opened our eyes to faith in Christ, be upon you now and forever. Amen. I want to thank Carrie Ann again for her help recording this service. This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we probably won't be able to march into church together, but we will certainly do the best we can in a digital fashion. And so now, go in peace, serve the Lord.